Let's pray. Father, thanks for today. Thank you for the song that Libby just sung. Lord, thank you that she's here, thinking about this past week. And you're a good God. We thank you for each and every person that's here today. We pray your blessing on them. Now, as we open your word, Lord, we ask, as always, that you would speak through me, that we would hear your word, we would hear what you would have us to hear, that we would be challenged, we would be encouraged, and we would be blessed, so that we might be a blessing to those that we go to throughout this week. So, God, we ask that you do meet with us, and our desire is that you would be pleased with what takes place here this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Right at the end. So just go to the end and go in between the testaments and start going backwards. You'll run into it. Micah chapter 5. Starting at verse 1, it says this. Marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. I've entitled the sermon this morning, Who is this Jesus? He is to be our peace. We've been spending all of our time in the Gospels looking at who is this Jesus, and now, Jerry, you're taking us to Micah 5? Why? Why Micah 5? Well, it's the Word of God. And as long as we look into our Bibles, and no matter where we look in our Bibles, we will realize that all of this, from Genesis through Revelation, is to reveal to us the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's why we're in the book of Micah this morning. It's all about Jesus. This whole entire book is all about Jesus. And we're here this morning because of who Jesus is. We're here this morning because of what Jesus has done. And we're here this morning because none of us are here by chance, but rather by divine appointment. Nothing that we have gone through over this past year, or even the past 2 to 3 years, or even this past week, has taken God by surprise. Nothing. You can't think of one thing that has taken God by surprise. And as we study together this morning, it is good for us to consider this passage with that reality in the forefront of our minds. The Word of God is timeless, and it's appropriate for every generation, Old Testament, New Testament, and today. Now, I came across a quote. It has been said that anxiety has become epidemic. It is rooted in a sense of powerlessness, an inability to control the circumstances of personal life, a feeling that people are mere pawns played with irresistible forces in society. Seems pretty appropriate for today. That we are mere pawns, that were influenced by forces of society. But that quote was written in 1994, almost 30 years ago. What he is saying is that everything is going crazy, and it seems as though we are powerless and are unable to control any of the circumstances. So, in essence, we're just pawns in the hands of the forces of our society. We can't do anything about it. What will be, will be. We're just wandering aimlessly through life.
Wow.
Not too encouraging. If you were to fast forward to today, think about this. We live in the era of the internet, where there is seemingly no ability to forget. You can't forget. Once you put it out there, you've lost all control. Once you put it on the internet, you're done. Facebook has this thing that pops up several times a week that says, on this day, and sometimes it'll bring up things that you posted on this day a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. Some things that bring a smile to your face. Some things that you say, wow, man, that's 5 years ago already. But some things that you would just assume not remember. Some things that you would like to just forget. And you virtually cannot escape it. Wow. Again, wow. Now, I want to give you the context to Micah chapter 5. It is 700 BC, so it's 700 years before the coming of Jesus. The people are being overwhelmed by the Assyrians. And because of this predicament, the people believe themselves to be helpless. I think they've lost all control. They've been humiliated, and they're lonely. They feel as though they have been abandoned by God. Now think about this with me for a minute. Here they are 700 years before Jesus. How were they feeling? What were they facing? Well, oppression, humiliation, and a sense of helplessness. Thinking that they have been abandoned by God. In other words, the people were walking around asking questions like, is anybody in control? Is there anybody that knows what's going on? Does anyone understand? Do you realize what it's like? Those are the kinds of things that they were saying to each other. And here we are, 2,000 years since then, saying the exact same things. Now Micah comes in the midst of all of this to the people, and he says this, here is what your God is going to do. You think that everything's out of control, you think that everything's hopeless, you think that nobody understands what's going on, here is what your God is going to do. This is a prophecy. It is a prediction of what is to come. It's a proclamation of what is to come. Not a prediction. I predict. No. This is what's going to happen. In the middle of that prophecy, there's a great promise. And we find it in verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. In other words, the answer to your current predicament is coming. It is coming. Now think about this. Bethlehem was not even in the top 100 clans of Judah. When you read all about the clans in the book of Joshua, Bethlehem is never even mentioned. Why? Why isn't it even mentioned? Well, it was not much of a place. It was obscure. It was insignificant. It meant nothing. It brought nothing to the table. People who lived there pretty much lived in isolation. It was a common place. It was an unnoticed place. Isn't that just like God? To take what is seemingly nothing, what is seemingly useless, what is seemingly nobody knows anything about, isn't it something that God would bring this prophecy out of Bethlehem? He does not come to a princess, but rather a Hebrew peasant girl. He does not come to a governmental leader, a senator or a president. He comes to a carpenter's house. And he does not come to one of the great Roman cities. He comes to Bethlehem. The promise is it's a great promise. It's a promise of victory that will come through one. I don't know if you noticed as I was reading this, But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times the Bible says, will, will, will. The one who is victorious is humble. He is a victorious king as well as a shepherd king. And he will shepherd his people. He will stand and he will shepherd his flock. He will be, security will be found in him. Verse 4, it says, in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name, Lord is God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And he will be their peace. All the things that they were asking questions to, all their questions, here's all the answers right here. He will be their peace, it says in verse 5. Remember what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. You say, well, there has never been a government that could do that. Certainly not the present government, or the last 100 governments, for that matter. That is why people are confused and bewildered. We have these governments that are supposed to deliver us, they're supposed to do all this kind of stuff for us, and everything's out of control. Here's the fact of the matter. We don't need heroes. We need a Savior. As the people here, as the Israelites here in this time are looking at all the things that are going on around them, they didn't need a hero. They thought they needed this king to come along, sit on the throne, and take rule of everything. They need that. They needed a Savior. So there it is. It's 700 BC. You have a promise and a prophecy, and where do we end up? Well, fast forward 700 years, and you find yourself in Bethlehem. A star brings people from the east. They stop at the palace of Herod, thinking that if God was going to come and do something, that he would do it in a big place. He's going to do it in some significant city. They find out when they're there, when they meet with Herod, that it's told that he's going to be coming out of Bethlehem. Herod knows nothing about it, but yet he's disturbed about it. The prophets say he's to be born in Bethlehem, so what do? Off they go. The hopes of the wise men are met by the one who is in the manger in Bethlehem. The fears of men and women are going to be met by the one who is in the manger too. Herod's great fear was that this person really was a king who would actually come to rule and reign and replace him. That's why he did what he did to all the male babies. He did not want anyone reigning except him. Think about that. He didn't want anybody taking control. He didn't want anybody reigning except him. Could that be said about any one of us? I'd like to just continue on in life, but it's my life. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do what I want when I want. I don't want anybody telling me what's going to happen. Is that why Jesus remains over in the corner of your life? Is that why you occasionally welcome him in? You'll give a day a week, maybe a couple of hours a week to him. But other than that, he can just stay over there unless I need him. You don't want anybody else running your life. You don't want anybody else telling you what to do. Deep down, you know that he is king, and you know that he comes to reign, but you're not ready to give up control of your life. You would rather continue to live with the hopes and fears. Let's fast forward to right here and right now this morning. If we were to take the time to go around this room and ask you, how are you feeling, or how are you doing, or what's going on, we could be here for a while. Might take a while to get started, but once people started opening up and telling each other what their fears are, what's really going on in their lives, what they're hiding, what nobody else knows, we could go around the room, and we'd probably be here for a while to hear what everybody had to say. Unfulfilled desires, fears, fear of disease and sickness. You know, COVID's on the rise again. Fear of death. I don't want to die. Fear of not being able to do what you would like to do for your kids or your family this Christmas season. Constantly looking for the answers to these hopes and fears and being told over and over again, do not worry, but dig deep down within yourself and you'll find the answer. You just think positive. You just go ahead and keep working at it. It's there. It's down in you. You just have to find it. You can fix it. Just stay positive. As your world's crashing in around you, as the hopes and fears of all the years are meeting you at this moment, just stay positive. It's okay, you're going to make it. Let's go. You can go to the bookstore, and you can find a whole section in the bookstore about the power of positive thinking. You don't need to do this. You don't need to read that. You don't need to do all these other things. You just need to think positive. Let me ask you something. Do you really think that you can figure this all out on your own? Really? Because if you do, and you're a child of God, He's going to show you that you can't. He's going to knock you flat on your back to get you to look the only place you can look, and that's up, and to then cry out to Him and say, God, I need you. I need you. That's probably something that's not too much in the forefront of some of our minds, because right now we're doing pretty good. I don't need them. Sure nice to have them. Sure nice to have them when I do need them. Well, I don't need them right now. You know, the answer to your hopes and fears, they're not found in a place. There's many people that this time of year make a trek over to the Holy Land, over to Bethlehem, just to be in the atmosphere or in the place of where Jesus was born. You'd be surprised if you've ever been there. You'd be surprised at what it looks like. It's not much. It's not much at all. So I can't go to Bethlehem, so you know what I'm going to do? I haven't been to church in a while, but man, this is a great time of year to come to church, to sing all the songs and to just be with the people and to be around stuff like this. The answer is not found in the place. It's found in the person. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Lamb of God? Jerry, that's Old Testament stuff with all the sacrifices and all that kind of stuff. But yet John the Baptist points to Jesus and calls him the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All of those Old Testament sacrifices pointed to the one sacrifice that would deal with the sin of the world by the one who lay in the manger. The hopes and fears are not met as a result of looking into the manger, but rather by looking away from ourselves to the one on the cross. Jesus was innocent of sin. And yet he entered a guilty plea on our behalf. Jesus does not love us just the way we are. You will hear people say to you, Jesus loves you just the way you are. No, he doesn't. He doesn't love you just the way you are. You say, wow, Jerry, that doesn't sound too promising. Jesus doesn't love you just the way you are. He loves you in spite of the way you are. Why? Because he has provided the answer to our predicament. Jesus does not love us just the way we are. He loves us despite the way we are because he has provided the answer to our predicament. The fears of loneliness and the fears of rejection are met in Jesus. The fear of being discovered and being uncovered, of people finding out what I'm really like, all of that stuff is met in Jesus. God knows it all. You're not hiding anything from God. Jesus is the best of friends, the very best of friends. The best of friends knows the worst about us, and he loves us just the same. Jesus does not love us just the way we are. He loves us despite the way we are because he has provided the answer to our predicament. Now, I don't want to assume anything here this morning, so I have a question for you. Have you ever personally received Jesus as your Savior? Been going to church all these years? Of course I have. It's not my question. My question is, have you ever personally received Jesus as your Savior? I was thinking about this in the same way that the old man, Simeon, who was a priest, he had been in the temple for years. He had heard the promise of the coming Messiah. He asked God to spare his life until he was able to behold the Messiah with his own eyes. And we're told that when Jesus was brought to him, he lifted up baby Jesus, and he said, I need you. My eyes have seen my salvation. I need you. I want you. I'm thankful for you. Have you ever done that? If not, now's a good time. Or are you going to be like Herod, who did not want to give up control of his little kingdom, and said, I don't want anybody else running my show. I like things just the way they are. The Bible tells us that Jesus is our peace. If your life is full of turmoil right now, if peace is not something that would describe your life, then you need Jesus. And there's no better time. It's a great time of year when we all get together and we sing the songs and we celebrate the birth of Jesus. But it's the Jesus that went from the manger to the cross. That is where our focus should be. All of this stuff here points to Easter Sunday. Again, I ask you this. Have you ever personally received Christ? And if you have, are you like Simeon, who takes and beholds him in his hands and says, I need you. I'm thankful for you. I love you. My hope and desire is that this Christmas season will give you a whole new perspective on what this is all about. Because the Bible does tell us he will be ruler. He will stand. He will shepherd his flock. We will live in security. He will reach, his name will reach to the ends of the earth. The Bible tells us that there's a day coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. It will happen. And if you're a Christian, in the midst of all this mess, he will be your peace. Hold him in your hands, hold him in your hearts, and say, Jesus, I need you. I need you. Let's pray. Father, we love this time of year. It's a great time of year for us to get together and to sing and to give gifts, celebrate, to get dressed up, and to just enjoy all the stuff that we have added to the manger of Bethlehem. But when we look at how you did it, how you used this little insignificant city and an insignificant woman and an insignificant man and an insignificant time to bring your son into the world, we're humbled. Sometimes we're even ashamed of the productions that we've made. God, may our celebration of this time of year point people to Jesus. May it point us to the cross. And maybe we come to the realization that this isn't just a time for rejoicing and having fun and enjoying the season. It's a time for us reflecting on the truth of how much we really do need you. May that be our heart's cry this Christmas. God, we need you. As all the stuff's going on around us, confusion about everything, world seems to be out of control, we are so grateful, so thankful that you have promised that you will be our peace. May that be so. Lord, I commit each and every person here to you this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.